out. You know, I find it everywhere I go. Why I find brothers and sisters, and I, when I leave there, why I have to leave part of my heart with them. It's been a long time. But my desire is to teach the wonderful words of life and to verify how important they are to our life. And it's important that we take the time to know the thing that's essential to our soul's welfare. And I know sometimes, as we were talking there today, I know there's things that we wish we knew and the things that we wish we could know. You know, sometimes when I'm out, people say, well, what's God's name and where did he come from and how did he get his power? And you know, there's a lot of things that the scriptures don't answer. But he does answer what's essential to your soul's welfare and how we can order our life to go and live with him. Those are the essential things that we must listen to. Those are the things that we must study and seek and apply to our lives. It's that gospel of Christ. It's so important. And it has to come in your heart. You have to put it first. You know, you have to put it first in your life. And you know, it's as we go through life, you know, we do a lot of things. You know, we eat to sustain the physical body and to give it strength. Sometimes we work out when we can. Sometimes you run and jog. I can't do that anymore. But, you know, there's different things that we do to sustain the physical body. If it gets sick, we go to the doctor. And, you know, it's the same thing with the spiritual body. We have to feed it. We have to feed it the living manna, Christ. The manna that come down out of heaven that the Lord says that, you know, he says Moses was fed manna from the heavens and they died. But he says the manna that I give, he says I'm that manna. He says you shall live. And it makes a difference in your life. It makes a difference, young people, when you're growing to what you feed the spirit. It makes a difference. You know, I'd like to talk maybe just for a second here this morning about bees. Have any of you ever worked bees? Okay. Yeah, bees that flies around and makes honey. they have a tendency to do that. You know, it makes a difference what the bees feed the egg when it's laid. When they lay an egg, if they feed what they call a royal jelly, it's the pollen and it's the protein and things that develops a queen. If they don't feed them that, they develop a worker or a drone. They have to have that spiritual, or they have to have that strength to develop the queen. And that's you and I. We have to learn to feed of the manna of Christ if we're going to sustain and cause our spirit to grow. We have to get a hold of it. Otherwise, we might be a worker, but, you know, we might be out stinging people too. You can't tell. You know, it's how we order our life. It's the things that we do. It's how we feed the spirit. And the spirit needs to be fed. Just exactly like the body. If I don't eat, I'll die. If you don't eat, you'll die. It's the same thing. We have to continue to feed that spirit. That's why Christ instituted the sacrament. So that we would eat and drink in the remembrance of him. That we wouldn't forgive him. We wouldn't forget him. That he would be constantly in our life. That every day we would know and feel his presence. And recognize that he's there. And recognize that he loves us and he has a desire to feed us. He has that desire. But you know, it's just like that little babe there that Justin's holding, you know. Right now it gets hungry and boy, it wants to eat and that makes it grow. But you know, if he goes to feed it when he gets older and just closes his teeth like that and won't eat. And sometimes in our life, we close our spiritual mouth and teeth and we don't want to eat of the living manna. And that living manna is essential for our soul's welfare. And that's why we're here today. We're here to open up our mouth and to be fed of the Spirit that causes us to grow spiritually, that causes our mind to be alert and awake at the things about us, that we would walk in a way that we would glorify our Father which is in heaven, that we would have a candle power, a light that would shine upon Him that couldn't be put a bushel over or stopped by the power of Satan and his angels. That's what it's about. That's why he tells us to meet together off, where we can visit one with another, of the hope that we have within us, that we would continue to arouse our hearts and our minds and our spirit to be obedient to the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what it's about. That's why he tells us to meet together. That's why he has a Sabbath day where we come together and speak and talk one with another and study and enjoy the presence of one another, of those of like faith, of those who are seeking to know the truth, that we would in return be able to walk ever closer to Christ, that we would have that gospel we just sang about and recognize how precious it is. And you know, I'm going to start perhaps this morning with a scripture that's not new, and some of the scriptures I'm going to bring out this morning isn't new, but I'm going to start in the 6th chapter of Matthew's, and I'm going to read the 33rd verse. And you know, this scripture is a scripture that you've heard many, many times, and the scriptures I'm going to use today you've heard many times. But it's just like anything else, you know, you might hear them, but it makes a difference whether you apply them or not. That's where the shoe comes in. That's where the shoe fits. You know, it makes a difference of whether you apply the gospel of Christ or not. You can know it, but that doesn't mean you live it. And that's what we're talking about today. We want to live it. We want to have it to be first in our life. And I'm going to read there the 33rd verse in the 6th chapter of Matthew. And this is Christ speaking. He says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God." That's what we're here for. Every one of us. You're not here to be somebody that takes care of a gas station, or somebody that's taking care of a hotel, or somebody that's welding, or somebody that was a druggist. He knows that you have needs, and that's what he says here. You know, that's what he's talking about. You know, he takes care of them. You know, he's going to feed you. He'll get you clothed. He knows you have needs. He knows you want a roof over your head and have heat in the winter and have something cool in the summer. He knows that. He's aware of that. But our real job here is to choose who we want to serve and who we want to live with from all eternity to all eternity. That's what we're really here for. We're here to choose whether we want to live with God the Father or Jesus Christ, or whether we want to go down with Satan and be tormented day and night forever and ever. That's a choice that we're making. That's the most important choice in your life. That's the most important choice in your life. You know, it doesn't make any difference what you do to try to provide for your family and for yourself. It's like Christ said, he said, "What will you give in exchange for your soul?" He says, if you gain the whole world and lose your soul, he says, what good is it unto you? It's not good at all. Like we were talking this morning, you know, all these things that we see about us, they don't go with us. You know, I've preached a lot of funeral services, and I got my first time to see anybody take anything with them. The only thing that they've taken with them is how they have ordered their life in the standard of God. That's what they're going to take with it. That's what you're going to take with you. And that's what I'm going to take with me, whether I like it or not. And the scripture says if we go out rebelling, we come back to stand before the judgment seat of Christ rebelling. We come back with the same spirit we go out with. And so it's important that daily we walk with the Spirit of Christ. It's important that daily He's our companion. He's our friend. It's important that daily we prayerfully ask Him to direct us and to direct our thoughts, that our standard and that our walk would be that would encourage another and not discourage them or not to lead them astray. Did you ever think how you'd feel if you led somebody astray and caused them to lose their soul because they were following you? Did you ever think about that? How important it is for you to set an example, how important it is for us to bear a light that will glorify our Father, which is in heaven, so that those about us that could see that light could recognize your peace, could recognize your love, your forgiveness, your compassion, your mercy, that could recognize those things, how important that is, that they could look at that. You know, when I was in Africa, we went from Kenya down into Tanzania, another country, and we were preaching down in there. When we come out, we were going to go back over across the border into Kenya again, and of course you have to stop there, and I don't know what they is now. I haven't been in Canada since they've done a lot of changing, but you had to carry a passport, and I was sitting there, and boy, the guy was just really giving me fits. You know, he'd ask me questions, and he didn't like this, and he didn't like that, and we have an elder down there. His name is Moses, Elder Moses. I guess some of those have been down there have met him, and he's an excellent man, and he's a spiritual man. And, you know, he come in, and he walked over, and he bumped me on the arm like that, you know, and the guy looked at him, he looked at Moses, and he looked at me, he says, "You know him?" And I said, "Yes, I know him. I've been working with him for the last few weeks here now, down in Tanzania." He looked at me, he says, "You know, he's a good man." Boy, he reached over and grabbed his stamp, and he hit my passport like that, and he says, "You go right ahead." He was recognized. He was a good man. They recognized his standard. They recognized that he was carrying that faith and that Christ. They was recognized. He was a good man. He recognized him, and immediately he stamped my passport, and I could go because he came in. And you know, we sometimes don't realize the example that we set. We sometimes don't realize how people watch us and watch our thoughts and watch our actions and watch them when we're having problems or in good times or whatever. People watch us to see what you're going to do. That if your action is engendered by the power of Christ, or if it's just by man or the devil or just whatever you're going to do, your own thing, are you going to get mad? Are you going to flare up? Are you going to use profanity? Are you going to be what Christ intended for us to be? To set an example. That's what we are. Whether you like it or not, you're setting an example wherever you go. You know, my dad told me a long time ago when I was about your age back there, Rhodes, and your other young fellows there. He told me, he says, when you meet somebody for the first time, he says, you've made an impression, either good or bad. And you might only meet him once, Justin. But he says, you've made an impression. He says, what impression do you want to make when you're meeting somebody? What is it that you would like to leave with them? Would you like to leave them that desire to know why you have the hope that's within you? Why you can meet a problem with a smile on your face, and gentle and kind, with a loving way. That, you know, that's something that we have to think about, because this gospel of Christ isn't just to be talked about or visited about or one thing or another. It's to be applied to our life. It's of no value if it's not applied to our life. Not a bit. You know, that's where it comes in. You know, you guys, We all like to eat. What good is it to have a whole refrigerator full of food and a table full of all kinds of food and everything, but we didn't eat it, not even nibble? You know, here is a table full of food, spiritual food. But we have to open up our mouth and receive it. And we have to apply it to our life. We have to use the strength and the courage and the understanding that comes through those holy words, because those books are going to judge us. The scripture says, in the last day, do you know what's in them? Have you studied them? Do you understand them? When you were studying, how many times did the Lord say, you know, what's the matter? Haven't you read the scriptures? Remember when they were holding a discussion and fasting and praying about what the name of the church was going to be there in the 12th chapter of the third book of Nephi, and the Lord come and stood in the midst of them and said, what is it you want? They said, well, we want to know what you call this church. And he says, what's the matter? Haven't you read the scriptures? It says, you must take upon you the name of Christ. That's my name. And by that you will be called at the last day. Other times he says, have you not read the scriptures? If so, you do not understand them. Bingo. It's important that when you're studying the scriptures, Rhodes, that you pray and you ask God to enlighten your heart and your mind and to take the scales from your eyes so that you can see the beauties of the gospel of Christ. So that you would be ready and willing and automatically see the path that he has trod. That you would recognize the signs. You would recognize those signs and go after them. You know, I don't know what you got up in this country. In our country, why, there are trails that go down through the mountains and over the canyons and stuff like that, and they mark the trails so people don't get lost. They can go and you know, and they can follow the trail and they stay on the trail. And I imagine you have the same thing here for hikers and for stuff like that. And, you know, Christ has marked his trail. He has marked his trail, not only in life, but he marked it by the teachings when he said, these things which are teacher not of me, but the Father which sent me. So that we would know how essential and how important they are. That's what. He marked the trail of eternal life so that we wouldn't have to fall away and be lost and say, oh my goodness, you know, I went down that canyon and now I don't know where I'm at. If you follow Christ, if you hold his hand, if you walk and follow after his markers, you aren't lost. You know where you're at. And you know how important it is for you to be there. And you know how important it is to hold his hand. We live in a time when the world tells us, you know, we're living in the last days and we know things are going to come upon the earth. But you know, he says, Wayne quoted it today, there in the 24th chapter of Matthew, he says, you know, for my elect's sake, I'll shorten those days. Important? Yeah. What's important? To be an elect. To be one of those, you know, prior to that time, he says that Satan will show great signs and wonders. Oh, you can read a lot of things and see a lot of things and hear about a lot of things. And he says Satan will show great signs and wonders that if it were possible, he'd deceive you, the very elect. That's why it's important to know the word, that he can't deceive you. He can't turn you away. Because you know, as soon as you hear it, you recognize that it isn't the Lord. You recognize automatically that that's not the Lord talking and that isn't his way. just that plain and just that simple. That's how come it's important to know. Just like if you're in mathematics, you say, well, 2 and 2 is 4. Okay, you remember those things. All right? You remember the different formulas so you can get your math done and one thing and another. Remember the formula of Christ to eternal life. It's called obedience. It's called to love your Father. Love God with all your might, mind, and strength. It's called to know what's required of you that you might yield and submit your will to His. That's what's necessary. You can't do it on the will of a man. Because we have an enemy to our soul. And the scripture says he's a father of lies. They call him Satan or the devil. They call him a lot of names. But he's one that wants to lead you astray. He's the one that wants to destroy us. He's the one that doesn't want us to know the way to eternal life. He's the one that wants to jar you away from Christ. And the scripture says, you know, none can pluck out of his hand. And that's true. But you can pluck yourself out of his hand. You can relieve him. You can go away from him. You can leave him and go your own way. But if you remain true to the gospel of Christ, the scripture says he'll have to flee before you. He can't do anything with you. That's the important thing. That's the important thing, that we live that life. We live that life that Satan can't do a thing with us because we walk with Christ and we walk with him and with his spirit. And that when you're around people, they can feel your spirit. They can feel your love that you have for people and a desire for them to know the gospel of Christ. And to be able to live so they can go live with him and the Father. That very gospel. And that they might understand. I didn't read the rest of that. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things should be added unto you. How true it is. How true it is. You know, that's something that the world sort of have a hard time with sometimes because they don't understand that God can do all things. He's not limited. He's not limited whether it has to do with your financial. He's not limited with your physical. He's not limited with your spiritual. He's not limited. I got a sign in front of a plate that Joan Beard put there when I bought that motorhome out there. It says, in God, all things are possible. And that's true. In God, all things are possible. And you never want to forget it. You never want to forget it. And you begin to see then, you begin to see the power of Christ. You begin to see that as you prayerfully visit with him and talk to him, you see the evidence of that faith, he says, which is not seen. But you see the evidence of it because you witness those things and you recognize by whence it come. And you know, nothing good came from Satan. All good, the scripture tells us, come from heaven. That's where it comes from. And so it's easy when we sometimes get set down and we begin to look at things, we can separate. We can separate the light from the darkness. We can separate those things. And how important it is that we do that. How important it is that we remind ourselves daily and those about us as we live our life. That we believe in him and we know that he is true and that we recognize that we're dependent upon him. That we're dependent upon him. And how important those things are that we recognize that. I'm going to go here as long as I'm in the area. I'm going to go to the 7th chapter of Matthew's And I'm going to start there, probably in the 13th verse. He says, enter ye in at the straight gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life. And few there be that shall find it. Few that be that find it. Is that the desire of your heart, to be one of the few? Or do you want to go with the world and just go the wide way and just go along and think everything's fine? Think about it. You know, in our country, there's trails that goes all over. You can go in there and the trails go like that. But one of them will take you to your destination. And in life, the one that takes you to your destination, I hope, is your destination, is the Lord and His teachings and the path that He has prescribed for us to follow. That's what's so important. And you know, it says here, you know, people get discouraged and said, oh my goodness gracious, you know, that few there be that find it. There's what, 7 billion people in the world? You can have millions of people that follow the gospel of Christ and still be few compared to 7 billion, can't you, Justin? Then we have to ask ourselves, which one do we want to be? Which one? We want to take the wide and the broad way and just go and just hooray for our side? Or do we want to take the narrow way that's prescribed by Christ? Of course, you know, we don't even get into that. We don't even get into that path without baptism. He tells us we can't even see the kingdom of God if we're not baptized. That's an important thing, isn't it? You know, it's an odd thing. People want to bow and buck up and raise thunder because they don't like sometimes the teaching of Christ. How many of you at the old, how old are you, Rhodes? 13. Okay. When you get to be 16, you're going to want a driver's license, aren't you? Yeah. Yep. I guess that we all were. But you know, to get a driver's license, you have to go take a written test. And then you have to take a driver's test. You know something? In everything of life, there's rules and laws. It's the same thing in the law of Christ. He has rules. He has laws. If you flunk too many of the written test, you don't get your driver's license. If you're driving an automobile and you're going through a school zone for 15 miles an hour and you hit it at 85, he's not going to give you a driver's license. Well, Christ has laws. And we must apply them. It's important that we apply his laws to our life. If we don't apply as laws to his life, we don't get our spiritual driver's license. We don't get to go live with him and God the Father. Those laws have to be applied to our life. That's why it's important to study so we can pass the test. So we can pass the test of understanding and the test of applying, of the driving, of applying it to our life. That's why it's so important. And it's not something to just be set aside, and well, I'll think about it later. And yeah, I got a book here that tells me of the laws of the state and everything, and I'm going to have to take a test on it, but I'm not even going to look at it. I got other things to do. I want to go play ball. I want to go this. I want to go that. And you flunk the test. What good is it? That's why it's important that you study and seek. That's why it's important that you be sure that when you learn things that you apply them to your life. That's important. If they aren't applied to your life, you pay for it. You flunk the test. Just exactly like you would if you were driving and you wanted to drive. There's laws. There's laws that you don't go through a schoolyard that fast because you might run over a kid there that's going home or riding a tricycle or whatever the case may be. Those laws are for a reason, and the laws of God is for a reason. They're for a reason. They're not to make you sad or grumpy or bad, but they're to not do that at all. They're to do the opposite. They're to make you happy. They're to make you so you're not having problems. You know, I don't have to look over my shoulder to see where the police are at because I'm drunk because I don't drink. I don't have to look over my shoulder and say, am I going to run up on that sidewalk and run over that kid on a tricycle because I'm high on dope because I don't use it. The gospel of Jesus Christ is that which leaves you a way to be happy. And a way that you don't have to keep looking over your shoulder all the time and wondering what's going on. Because I don't have to worry about being picked up and thrown in jail for doing that because I don't do it. When you apply the gospel of Christ to your life, there's a lot of things this old world has problems in that aren't your problems because you're following the Lord. Remember that, young people, how important that is. Because when you're following the Lord, you don't have to worry about those things, do you, Brandon? No. And so that's why he has caused these things to be preserved and written for us. So that we could understand the things that are essential for our soul's welfare. That we don't have to guess on it. You know, it's an odd thing. Old Satan really works. You take your new Bibles. Your new Bibles, they've taken them where it talks about the Lord preaching with his authority, the gospel of Christ, and his doctrine. They took the word doctrine out. A lot of your new Bibles where it says that Christ was teaching his doctrine with authority and power, the word doctrine, which is a dogma, the word doctrine is deleted. It's not even there anymore. It's not there anymore. Yet in the yesterdays, they realized the value of the way of Christ. You take the old Catholic Bible, the old Douay-Rheims. In there, it tells you that he was preaching with authority his doctrine. The new Catholic Bible says, well, he was preaching, but he wasn't trying to prove any specific point, quite unlike the scribes and the Pharisees. And, you know, in their new Bible, Protestant and Catholic, you get into the Lord's Prayer and they altered it all up and they left off one of the beautiful parts of that Lord's Prayer, and that's the last part where it says, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Satan has come in to where he has endeavored to change and to alter the scriptures. So it makes it harder for mothers and fathers and teachers to teach the children the truth because they've taken the truth from it. Like Romans 16:16, salute one another with a holy kiss. The churches of Christ salute you. It's not there anymore. Shake hands warmly. All the churches here send their greetings. There's not the bride of Christ. Christ isn't a polygamist. He never has been. So when you get into those things, how important it is to seek first the kingdom of God. My gosh, I hadn't even got started. My time's about through. How come you let me do that? But I want you to think on those things. How important it is. How important it is to apply the gospel of Christ. How important it is to know it. Now, somebody might say, oh, no, you can do that. That's all right. And you say, no, the scriptures, they say I'm not supposed to do that. Well, where do you read that? You might not be able to say, oh, well, that's over in Mark, such and Mark 1:22, where he says, you know, that he was preaching authority, his doctrine. No, you might not remember that. But if you've read it, you know it's there. That's the important thing, is to read it. That's important. Remember, when I first came here, remember I told you not to take my word for anything but the scriptures? That if I told you something, I wanted you to read it in the scriptures so you know that that's what the scriptures say. How important that is. Because you're not going to be judged by my word. But you're going to be judged by the word of Jesus Christ, our Lord. We're going to be judged by those things that he has caused to be written. We can go to Peter and we get into that. And he says that prophecy didn't come by the will of man. He says, when holy men were moved upon by the power of the Holy Ghost. Paul in Timothy says that all scripture is given by the inspiration of God. What for? To teach us, to edify us, so that we'd know how to follow our Lord. Yeah. If all scripture is given by the inspiration of God, then who has the right to change it or to alter it or decide he didn't have good English, so we'll change it? Oh, there could be mistakes, and we know there was mistakes as they were translated. But you know, Brother Wheaton, apostle in the church, his late Brother Wheaton now, he was over in Jerusalem when they found the Dead Sea Scrolls, Justin. He was there at the Hebrew Institution in Jerusalem when they translated the Dead Sea Scrolls. And they read almost word for word like your authorized King James translation. Those brothers did an excellent job. They did an excellent job. What's that tell you? That tell you that God was looking out for us. That he was causing those things to be preserved so that we would know. Because he loves us. And he has a desire that we would know the gospel of Christ. That we would know what we have to apply to our life. That we would know what we're to stand on. That what we should teach people when he says that we should be ready to tell anybody why we have the hope that's within us. With meekness and fear. Did you ever think about that? Can you tell them, Christy? Can you tell them why you believe the way you believe? Can you verify it scripturally? Can you? Can I? Can you? Can you readily tell them why you believe that there should be 12 apostles at the head of the church because he doesn't change? Not even a shadow of changing? That his wife is called Mrs. Christ? And the scripture says he's going to come back to his wife, singular, not plural. Are you ready to tell them why you have the hope that's within you? Have we sufficiently studied that we can tell them why we believe? Have we? That's important. Because, you know, you never know. When somebody asks you something, you know, you never know whether you're going to have another chance to talk to them or not. It might be one time shot. One time. Are you going to be able to tell them enough to cause them to hunger and to thirst and to wonder and to look? and to seek. That's important. That's important. That we're ready to do that. That we're ready to follow after those things. And to keep the commandments of God. That we're ready to set the example. The scripture says you avoid the very appearance of evil. Young people, that's pretty hard, isn't it? Because young people, they're into everything, and so is the older today. And the middle age. They're not following the commandments of Christ. They're just all over. And how important it is that we know that wherever we're at, we're to set an example for the Lord. That they're to see Him in our actions and in the ways that we choose to follow. That we are sure that the parents, you know, I saw some cute little twins there this morning. Those cute little twins, according to the scripture, says that their parents is to nurture them up in the ways of the Lord. That's because they'll have life eternal if they nurture them up in the ways of the Lord. How important that is to not only feed the physical body and cause them to grow, but cause them as time goes along that they grow in the spirit and the knowledge of Jesus Christ. That's the most important. How important that is. That you teach them to be obedient to the gospel of Christ. That you seek first the kingdom of God. That we do that. That we recognize the need. We recognize our weaknesses. We recognize that of ourselves we can do nothing. But we have a Lord. That's our mediator. He petitions our Father in heaven in our behalf. He's our advocate. Our lawyer, Wayne. To talk to God for us and to visit with us in our behalf. What more can we ask? What more could we ask? Knowing that the Lord visits with God the Father for you, for your children, Justin, for all of us, because He died for us. He gave His life that you and I might have life, that we would have the opportunity to have life eternal. That was the purpose of it. And so as we come, you know, it's important that you come to church. It's important that you come to hear the Word of God. It's important that you meet one with another and you visit of the hope that you have within you. It's important that you do those things. Because then you learn to recognize the signs and the path so that you would stay in the right path and you won't be wandering off. Well, then remember what the Book of Mormon says, that you hold on to that rod of iron, which is the Word of God? And if you hold on to that rod of iron, you can go through all the temptations of Satan and things of the world. If you hold on to that rod of iron, he can't do a thing with you. What's he going to do with you? You're not going to fall away in that river next to you that's the depths of hell. If you hold on to the rod of iron, even after you partake of the tree of life, they fell away and were lost because of the mocking finger of the world. That means they wasn't holding on to the rod of iron, doesn't it, Wayne? They wasn't holding to the Word of God that they knew that was true to get there. But they let the mocking finger of the world mock them away to where they fell away and were lost. Wow. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine that they would fall away and be lost after they partaken of that pure love of God? Where was their thinking? What was going on? Boy, the enemy to our soul is mighty and powerful. And we have to look out for him and be aware that he's there constantly to destroy us. Like the scripture says that he is the enemy to all righteousness. So he's your enemy. He's your enemy. He's my enemy. He's the world's enemy. Because he wants to destroy them. And how important it is that we hold fast to Christ. Get a good grip of his hand. That you don't pull away from the Lord. And that you walk with him. Develop that grip. Develop that grip where you can't be pulled away from him. Develop that. Develop your knowledge. Develop your desire to follow after Christ, that you might end up being that son and that daughter of the Lord by your righteousness. You know, Revelation says that when he comes to his wife, he says his wife is adorned in white and raiment and so on and so forth. And he says, you know what that is? He says it's the righteousness of the saints. It's your righteousness and mine and those who believe. He says she's adorned with that righteousness of the saints. And how important that is. And that's what we want. We want to live the life that his wife here on earth, that his wife here on earth would be adorned with righteousness, with white garments, with garments without sin, with those things that's so essential that it's there for us to know and for us to recognize. For us to recognize that it's important that we walk righteously. That's the most important thing in your life, to know the law of God and to apply it to your life. How important it is that we do those things, that we might be able to follow after him and to do the things that we feel like that he wants to do. I'm going to read in the 19th chapter of Revelation, and I'm going to read the 7th verse. He says, "Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready." You know, we're told that the church is his bride, his wife. "And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints." We want to help that part of that garment, don't we? "And he said unto me, Write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said unto me, These are true sayings of God." You know, it's a true saying of God. And you know, you and I have a right. You and I have a right that wherever we're at in this old world, that we can have that white raiment for the church of Christ, for the bride, the wife of Christ, that we can have it and have it white because we're there and because we believe and because we follow after the law of God. We have that right. We have that right that we won't even get a spot or a blemish on our garment, but that we can live the life that's required of us by Christ and not of man or Satan. How important that is. That is really important. You know, I guess I'm not going to preach on this after all. I didn't get to it yet, so I'll put it aside here. But I want you to remember that that is the most important thing in our life, brothers and sisters, is first to keep the commandments of God. To trust Him. Remember what the Lord said? He says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. That has to be our first desire, is to seek the kingdom of God. To look and to learn. And to apply those things to our life. That's what's the important thing. And so as we're we're out and around, wherever you're at, whether it's school or play, or in a grocery store, or wherever you're at, you know what the scripture says? It says the gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world, and then the end shall come. You know what else it says? It says when that time comes, there won't be anybody found blameless. It will be little children only. That means us. If we're alive, when the gospel goes to all the world, we won't be found blameless. We're going to have to make a decision. Period. That's what that means. That means they're going to have to make decisions. I know the world teaches the rapture. And you know, if you study the scriptures, you won't want to make that rapture because he's going to gather first the wicked and bind them and burn them. Then gather the righteous in the barn. That's the first. So we don't want the first trip. We want to be here when he says for those days. He says he's going to shorten those days for his elect's sake. Well, that's my prayer, brothers and sisters, that he'll shorten those days for you, that you'll be the elect's sake. That's the desire of my heart. And it's good to see you again. I've missed you. And it's sure good to see you. And it's good to see you here. Not because I'm preaching.